Bruce. Good afternoon, everyone. We'll be going right along with our published agenda today. So we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2582. Sam?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the House Bill before you is one which seeks to establish a landscaping business on property when that property is used for to grow and market nursery stock. Very briefly, the measure is at the request of some property owners who had gone through Marion County planning process. They obtained staff approval as conditional use to operate such a business. That decision was appealed, went to the hearings official. The hearings officer denied it because the hearings officer found that there in the Marion County language there was no clear authority that the county could do that. The county was essentially, they were using a provision in state statutes and their code of a commercial activity in conjunction with the farm use. The hearings officer denied that that interpretation was correct and lacked authority. Hence, they have opted to come through the legislative process to proceed with an opportunity to amend the ORS provisions within 215, 213, and 215, 283 to be able to allow that. So that real briefly explains the measure before you.
Thank you, Sam. And we'll call Representative Wayne Scott, Mr. Majority Leader. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee. For the record, my name is Wayne Scott, State Representative, House District 39. I'm here today to talk in favor of the bill that I sponsored, House Bill 2582, which I introduced on the request of my constituents, Bob, Brett, and Rod Kosolik. Brett is here today and to explain to the committee why this legislation is needed and as to what occurred up to this point. To me, this bill would give, it actually does give landscape contractors the opportunity to establish and use their business on the same site that they grow their products that they use within their landscape business, and to develop and use those products that they currently are either purchasing and or have at a different location. It offers, I think, some more efficiencies in the operation of the business and enables them to be able to work directly out of the farm that they use, and it gives the Oregon farmlands, a better effective way of using that. The partnership between farming and landscaping is a relatively simple move, in my opinion. I think it's a pretty common sense approach, which I support. So I ask you to please listen to the testimony, and I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, that you're hearing the bill, and certainly look forward to your discussions. Thank you very much.
Any questions of Representative Scott?
This is an elegant.
Seeing none, thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Relationship here. Rod and Brett Kosolik. Is that right?
Yeah.
Close enough. Huh?
Excellent.
Okay. Brett, would you go first, please?
Yeah. Basically, my name is Brett Kosolik. I'm here to represent or support House Bill 2582. I'm a local landscape contractor, business owner that Rod and I purchased some property across from the airport and wanted to run within existing regulations and operate the businesses properly. We went through Marion County realizing that we needed a conditional use permit to allow the landscape company to run off of this EFU zoned land. We worked with Marion County for some time to figure out the process, worked with a land use consultant, spent a lot of time, effort, and energy on this process. Marion County granted us a conditional use permit pending a public notice period. During that time, one neighboring property owner had objected to the proposed improvements, not only from the landscape recreational use that we had, that we were seeking, but also as a development of nursery land, an outright use. We tried to work with that property owner to explain that, you know, the lands or the nursery land and development is currently an outright use of the property, and all the structures and improvements that we had suggested doing to the property, we could do outright anyway. Our only effort with Marion County was to gain support for running our landscape business in conjunction to, but secondary to, the nursery land. So the land is still been, would still be used as nursery land, as a primary source. Going through that process, then the hearings board decided that they did not have jurisdiction to allow the planners to run through that permit process, and we were denied and basically back to square one. Our frustration is number one, going through the process with the county and not finding any applicable zoning laws that pertain to our business strategy and structure and so forth. What we want to do is run nursery as a primary use and have a landscape company operate as a secondary use out of those existing buildings, everything of which we need anyway to run the nursery. Getting here, basically not finding any other means. Wayne Scott has proposed this bill, which I think takes a pretty common sense approach and allows a landscape business to operate secondary in conjunction with a nursery business. There are currently landscape operations, nursery operations that are running in similar fashion, basically taking a don't ask, don't tell stance with the existing zoning laws. I certainly don't want to cause any problems with those companies that are currently running that way, but I'd like to get the zoning laws cleared up. It makes sense that the green industry landscape so closely tied with the agricultural commodity that's output off these nursery lands can be able to run in conjunction with each other. There's numerous operations. I don't have any studies or data to back that up. I don't think anything's ever been done like that in the state of Oregon, but I think it's sort of needed out there to get everybody in compliance and really make the land use process favorable to economies that it's tied so closely to. So.
Rod Fasoli is my name. Basically, everything Brett said is right on the money as far as I'm concerned. The whole process has been extremely frustrating because we've always wanted to be above board, you know, and do everything the way it should be done legally. And the challenge has been there's not really any way for us to do it that way, you know, the way we want to. And we've gone, I think we've exhausted all avenues, you know, that we possibly can short of, you know, being here and trying to change this statewide, which I think could be by far the best thing for the industry in the long run. So,
any questions of either gentleman or Representative Summer? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, do you plan to operate a retail operation from that site?
No, it would be a wholesale nursery.
And a wholesale nursery, and what are you going to put there that wouldn't be on a regular nursery operation?
Nothing that wouldn't be on a regular nursery operation. It would just give us the ability to grow for our own needs, for our own wholesale needs.
And you have a tractor.
More specific, some of the plants that we use in our landscaping suggestion. One of them would be aquatic plants. It's not something that's readily available out on the market today, and different types of plants and so forth. And so that would be one of the areas that we focus on to help supply some of our own aquatic plant needs.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned other operators who are doing similar, but maybe under different ways of doing it. How many others would be likely to use this niche in law?
You know, I honestly don't have an answer for you there. I have never seen any kind of studies that indicate how many landscape nursery combination businesses there are. I know that within, I would say about a mile of the property, there's anywhere from four to half a dozen other owners that are currently running the same type of operation that we would like to run, but they're just outside of compliance.
Thank you. Could you describe to me a little bit what you do intend to do? Is it just a building you want to build to house an office, or
the basis of putting in the nursery versus or in conjunction with a landscape operation running off of it? You're going to have buildings going up on the property for propagation. You're going to have greenhouses on the property. You're going to have farm equipment on the property, and some bulk materials on the property, whether it be mulch materials or rock materials or whatever the case may be, which is all covered underneath the nursery operation. The only difference really is the fact that we will have trucks and some equipment coming and going from the property. That is the basis. All equipment and everything else is going to be already needed for the nursery operation. So the maintenance side of it, which is a service-oriented business, that seems to be where the hang-up has been in the past, is just having trucks come and going, which, you know, from a large nursery operation, they have huge trucks coming and going constantly. You know, what's the difference between big semis rolling down the road in and out of a nursery versus some one-ton pickups with some small trailers in? It's actually, in my eyes, it's a lot less traffic coming and going than what a huge nursery operation would be, which is already allowed under the state law.
Would this include row crop operations as well? I mean, wouldn't they also be able to wholesale out of their operation if they had a small truck plant?
Can you clarify that? Can you just restate?
Say somebody is growing carrots and want to also run a wholesale operation, which is what you're asking for. What is the difference? Would you see?
They can actually currently do that under state law right now. So the difference really is being able to run a commercial business that is not directly tied to agricultural commodities.
It's the landscaping.
It's landscaping off the same property. The impact between the way that we've structured our business or would like to structure our business and given nurseries right now that are in operation to neighboring property owners is negligible, if any at all, depending on how you look at that structuring.
So it would be off-site for the landscaping business?
Excuse me?
It would be off-site for the landscaping business just using your wholesale product.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct.
I'd like to clear something up in my mind here, and it's based on what's written in our SMS, which is kind of our brief synopsis of everything. But it said your application for a conditional use permit was approved by the Marion County planning staff as a commercial activity in conjunction with the farm use. But on appeal, the county hearing officer denied the request. If the county planning staff approved your activity, what did you appeal?
We didn't appeal. It was actually one property owner that had a problem with any development of the property at all. Now, when we went to the hearings board, Marion County Hearings Board, he had an attorney hired that basically, in my eyes, threw everything up at the ceiling. And part of those concerns were the development of a nursery at all. So those don't have any legitimate concerns at all based on EFU zoning laws right now. We can go ahead and develop the nursery. We can develop the buildings. We can put the greenhouses on. We can make the improvements to parking structure, utilities, so forth and so on. The thing that was a legitimate challenge that held up was the conflict between Marion County zoning laws and State of Oregon zoning laws. Marion County, I feel, saw the potential conflicts and understood that there needs to be some flexibility that happens in our zoning laws, because when they were created in the 1970s, there's no way that you can foresee every problem out there and every applicable situation that should be allowed within those zoning ordinances. Marion County had NCZO 126.020 that they used in our application to try to make what seems to be common sense structure, landscape nursery combinations to operate off of EFU's own property through to allow us to operate our business. The state law, from my understanding, does not allow any landscape use in conjunction with a nursery, and that's where, again, my understanding, the Marion County Hearings Officer said there was a conflict, and therefore they didn't have jurisdiction to allow that originally approved planning process to go through.
Did you appeal the Hearings Officer's denial?
We had been advised by different people at different times that it probably was not going to see any kind of fruition, and that based on the time, effort, and money that we'd already spent on the process at that time, we should not continue forward. So at that time, we did not appeal that process.
Would that include going to the Marion County Commissioners?
Who
can overrule the Hearings Officer?
I believe so at this point, yeah.
Okay.
And this whole process is somewhat new to me, so I'm just trying to take something that I feel is right and correct, and it makes a lot of sense for Oregon, makes a lot of sense for different green industry businesses that our economy is tied to, and bring things into compliance and make the opportunities a lot easier to accomplish.
Any further questions of Mr. Casale or Mr. Casale? Okay, seeing none, thank you, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
Jerry Ingber, Wayne Guild, and Bill Cross. By the way, committee, we have six testimonies all in favor of this bill.
This really does seem like one of those things that shouldn't be here, doesn't it?
Committee members, my name is Bill Cross. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Landscape Contractors Association. Wayne is just here for support.
Oh, okay.
And I'm here. The Landscape Contractors Association has not had a chance to formally take action on this. The Legislative Committee has been looking at it. It's of great interest to them, and I think, as one of the previous speakers indicated, there are other situations around the state where, in fact, originally a nursery operator over a period of time ended up getting into a landscaping business, and probably if they started out today to get that land use change, would find difficulties. So this could have implications beyond their situation. So we're very interested in seeing the bill move forward, and we appreciate your support.
Any questions, Mr. Ross? Thank you, Bill. And Mr. Engel?
Yes, it's Engel.
Engel, I'm sorry.
I'm the owner of Living Color Landscape and also Living Color Nursery, and I do own and operate both a landscape company and a nursery from my property in Marion County. It was challenged several years ago, and the way it's set up now, I mean, we were told that we had to have a nursery entity as well as a landscape company entity, which we have both, and it's our understanding that we're operating legally. So I just want to explain to you from my standpoint, operating one, the benefits sort of me and everybody else associated with it. We have a 20-acre...
Mr. Chairman, would you please ask the gentleman to throw the microphone over?
I saw that. So, is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway, we have a 20-acre nursery, plus at least additional 8 acres. We farm Christmas trees as well as nursery stock. The nursery stock's exclusively used for our landscape operation, and there's just a lot of benefits to us in operating both, and over time it's sort of played out for us. Both the businesses are very seasonal, so from my standpoint and my employee's standpoint, it sort of gives us year-round employment. In the winter, we're working with the Christmas trees, getting our bare root stock in for nursery, you know, just preparing the farm for spring. In the spring and summer, we're taking care of our landscape business, and then in November, we start all over again. So it allows both of us to sort of weather the seasonality of both businesses. It also allows me to use a common office, which that's about all my landscape company takes from my farm property, and that's a about a 15 by 15 office space in my pole barn. The additional would be the parking of my equipment, which is roughly another 5 trucks with trailers, and then the rest of it's used for the nursery business. My management staff, if I had 2 operations, I'd have to have 2 office setups, 2 management staffs, myself. I personally couldn't operate or wouldn't want to operate both of them, being not located at the same location. There's just a lot of benefits to us. We go out every day and we buy nursery stock, or we used to. We're more of it today. You know, we're supplying ourselves. But if we don't grow ourselves, we have to locate a number one from, usually we've got about 5 different nurseries that we use. Prices change every day. We have to go pick it up. There's just a lot of inefficiencies, whereas right now we load up right in the morning, we go out. Truck traffic, it's one time out the gate in the morning and one time back in at night, and that's it. As far as equipment's concerned, the same equipment that we use for landscaping, my Kubota tractor that I use for landscaping, I use on the farm. I bought the tractor last year. If I would have had to buy it one for each, I'd be buying, you know, a $5,000 tractor for each operation, or maybe not having one for the landscape company. Just, you know, I can't afford to have both. It doesn't make a lot of sense. The trucks that we use in our construction, landscape construction, are the same trucks that are hauling our nursery inventory in and out. So there's a lot of ability to use it. Personally, I'm prepared, if I had to go purchase commercial real estate, go ahead and purchase it, because I have been setting aside rent to myself for the use from the maintenance company. So I do have that money set aside, but I can tell you also, if I did that, something would go, and it'd likely be the nursery, because I don't have the ability to manage what goes on there every day when, you know, the mainstay of my income is the landscaping business. And, you know, that could go right back to where it was 5 years ago, and that's a hobby farm that, you know, isn't exactly what I would consider a great use of agricultural land. Also, a little town I live in, Aurora, we support a lot of businesses, mainly the fuel companies, but, you know, local farm stores, OBC, you know, Campbell Landscape Supply, a lot of companies in the local area would be financially impacted, as well as would myself and my employees, because we'd all be back on the seasonal roller coaster of where, you know, we are financially, it goes up and down. I'd have to try and hire seasonal employees. That's just a real mess. And I would say that, from my experience, the majority of landscape companies operate some form of a nursery, whether it's in their backyard, a little holding area, or, you know, on their commercial property. There's a lot of companies that have their own nursery business, so to speak, attached to their maintenance. Just there's a few that actually have the property. So anyway, I definitely support the bill.
Any questions of Mr. Ayer? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify on House Bill 2582? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2582 and we'll open a work session on House Bill 2582. Committee, any discussion of this bill? Seeing no discussion, the chair would look for a motion.
The adoption of House Bill. We approve this bill to the House.
I don't have my script here.
It's 2582.
With House recommendation.
Representative Greenlick has moved House Bill 2582 to the floor with the DuPass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Yeah, I think this is representative of what we're trying to see happen, where small businesses can grow larger to be bigger businesses, hopefully not on properties that are EFU to a major extent, but you know, this is where a lot of jobs are being added to encourage small businesses to add a position or two, and that helps the state, so I think I'm very much in favor of it.
Any further discussion? Representative Summer.
I think it's important that we pass this because causing a commercial operation to be moved from the place where the plants are grown simply just increases the overhead of the grower. It makes develops more traffic on the highway. It cuts down on the profit that he can pay his employees and provide benefits for them. I think it's a great bill.
Any further comment? Representative Greenlick.
Yeah, I think somewhere we need to take a look at that conditional use. We had the same issue last time that a golf course was okay as a conditional use, but a restaurant in the golf course wasn't okay. I mean, that didn't make a bit of sense. A bit of sense to me. We want to find a way to put in there that businesses that are totally related to the allowed use ought to be allowed. And I mean, this is one that Marion County ought to have been able to deal with because it just doesn't make any sense to have it come here on this specific. We've now got, I don't know, 25 different specific things in there, and I recommend before we're done, maybe we can find a way to clean up the language of those and talk about purely related businesses. It would be a lot easier next time we're going to hear another one just like that. And it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Any further comments? Clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Greenlick?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chigurh?
Chair votes aye. House Bill 2582 is passed to the floor with a DuPass recommendation, and Representative Scott will carry the bill. I will close the work session on House Bill 2582 and open a work session on House Bill 2268. Sam?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this bill had received a public hearing several meetings ago at the end of January on the 31st. After that, there was a work group that was called. If you remember, at that particular meeting, there were two bills that dealt with someone with the relating issue of condemnation and things relating to that, specifically information. We gave direction for the two sponsors of each of the bills, if they could have form a work group and get together. My understanding from what I was told is that one of the sponsors of this particular bill, 2268, were not inclined to take the suggestions from the other particular bill that had come forward, so they have come back before you today without having the two bills merged into one. There is an amendment that was dropped off to us shortly, just a while back, and basically what these amendments will do within the bill is they will delete, I think it is section 8 of the bill, which I think is filed on page 2, and will insert the amendment that you have, the lines are 1 through 8, and as you're looking through there trying to find the smoking gun and figure out what's different, essentially what is different is the word provide replaces the word serve within the bill in the language in section 8, and I was told, perhaps Representative Ackerman could confirm or deny that, but I was told that it has to do with the drafting of term of art, I believe, or something in legislative drafting, or in legal speak. And with that, I would end at that point, and that's the summation of the bill, its history, and the amendment to date.
I would ask Wendy Johnson with the Law Commission to come up. All committee members have a copy of the dash ones. Wendy, would you like to explain the dash one amendments, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name again is Wendy Johnson. I'm with the Oregon Law Commission. I serve as the deputy director. The amendments are, as Justice and Mr. Litke explained, it's just replacing the word served throughout that section to provided. Because
served on and provided to.
Correct. Sometimes the grammatically speaking, Representative Greenwick, the word provided could be switched out, but the first instance we had to put in the word to make the grammar work. But it's three places. And as Mr. Litke explained, serve definitely has a legal term of art, which would refer to the ORCPs, ORCP 7, which would require a lot more expense. And basically all you're doing is wanting to make sure this report gets attached along with the appraisal and doesn't require service, formal service.
Any questions? Ms. Johnson? Could you give us just a very brief synopsis on the fact that you did attempt to work with the other folks and couldn't put anything together on this, in combining those two bills, and both bills were virtually identical.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, House Bill 2355 and House Bill 2268 had quite different purposes. House Bill 2268 before you is about appraisals if you're talking to a math student, it's showing your work. Oregon statute already requires that when you have a condemnation proceeding, you must provide an appraisal with your offer. But appraisal doesn't provide as much help unless you show the work that's behind that appraisal. So this bill, House Bill 2268, says any reports relied upon in creating that appraisal must be attached with. That's simply what House Bill 2268 did. 2355 is also running appraisals, but it has a different issue. It has to do with amending the amount of the appraisal and who can amend and when they can amend. And there are quite different policy issues behind 2355. As the chair alluded to, our work group did meet and did discuss 2355. That work group is composed of both condemning attorneys as well as condemnees attorneys, meaning the property owners as well as government. The work group could not agree to 2355 because of the policy reasons behind it. The entire work group voted no to that work group with one exception of a property owner's attorney. So our recommendation to the chair was to not merge those two bills because of the policy reasons.
Any questions of Ms. Johnson? Thank you. Committee, any discussion on House Bill 2268? Seeing none, the chair would seek a motion. Representative Ackerman.
On the House Bill 2268, be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
I'm sorry, we got to move the dash one amendment first.
That's right. Then I'll withdraw my motion and move that the dash one amendments to House Bill 2268 be incorporated therein.
Representative Ackerman has moved the dash one amendments to House Bill 2268. Any objections? Seeing none, the dash one amendments are moved to 2268. Now, Representative Ackerman.
All right, I think I've got it right now. Move that House Bill 2268 as amended be forwarded to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Ackerman has moved House Bill 2268 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair
Gross? Chair votes aye. House Bill 2268, as amended, is moved to the floor. Do we have anyone? If you'd like to make a motion for the consent calendar.
We will be put on the consent calendar.
Representative Greenlick has moved that we put House Bill 2268 as amended on the consent calendar. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll.
Ackerman? Anderson?
Aye.
Greenlee?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Gross?
Chair votes aye.
House Bill 2268 is amended is moved to the floor on the consent calendar. All right, committee, the only remaining business we have today is, as you know, the deadline for dropping bills. So we have six LCs, and one of them, 3344, you have but two pages of. The bills were presented to the committee at approximately 11:30 this morning, and the bill is 189 pages. So rather than have seven copies of 3344, we just did the main cover pages. Is there any committee member that would desire to see the entire bill?
Sure. Just
please do not interrupt the chair. Okay. You can interrupt anybody else, and then I'll pound you, bitch, but not the chair. Now, please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's not 3344, that's 189 pages. I think it's 2149. I'm sorry if I interrupted you in that. Especially, I was just trying to save you from going off course.
The representative is correct. See? You know, it's times like this I really hate you, Nick.
I'm going to get worse in a minute on that one. I do just want to put in the record on page two of those 189 pages. It defines six regions of the state, two of which have the same counties, some of the same counties in it. So somewhere along the line, it's probably need to be cleaned up a bit.
Cleaned up a little bit? Well, again, committee members know we're not endorsing the bill.
Perhaps the chair would like to suggest that Representative Greenlick read the entire bill and provide a synopsis for the rest of us.
I already have, and I'd be happy to. We don't really have the time today to do it.
I think maybe you could schedule that about 7 o'clock tonight.
I could read the whole thing, actually.
We could make a one-person, one-representative task force here. Okay, so... Does any committee member wish to see the entire 189 pages of LC 2149?
Okay, seeing... Vakia was raising his hand.
The chair does not recognize Representative Vakia. Okay, so we have six of them. Sam, go ahead.
LC 1144, it appeals a sunset provision of the act that deals with the industrial land development outside lands in the land valley and outside urban growth boundaries, similar to one what we have before. We have LC 1747. This is a bill that requires the Department of Land Conservation Development and Metropolitan Service Districts to notify local governments that perform land use planning of any proposed change in land use policy. The third one, LC 2834, this bill adopts a Uniform Environmental Covenants Act, and that allows owners of real property and others to enter into enforceable, perpetual environmental covenant governing uses of property subject to environmental remediation or voluntary environmental response project. Let's see, the fourth one, the House Bill LC 3344 requires that persons must hold water right or means to deliver water under the water right that may be injured under a proposed transfer in order to file a protest after proposed transfer. And I think the last one is LC 2820, which will allow a public entity to reduce amount paid in compensation, resolve claim for compensation under ballot measure 37. And I take it back, but the last one is LC 2149, and that establishes a regional land use planning commissions. Modifies duties of Land Conservation Development Commission so that the commissions establish statewide land use plan goals and regional commissions ensure compliance with local regional plans. Any questions?
The chair would like to recognize the tremendous assets that Representative Greenlick bring to this committee in regards to 2149. Representative Smith?
Oh, I was going to say, make a motion.
Chair recognizes Representative Smith.
I'll make a motion that we adopt House Bill 2149, 2834, LC, I'm sorry, 2149, I'll start over, LC 2834, LC 1747, LC 1144, LC 2820, and LC 3344 as committee bills.
Representative Smith has moved LCs 2149, 2834, 1747, 1144, 2820, and 3344 in block to be assigned as committee measures. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Greenman?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Let's see. LCs 2149, 2834, 1747, 1144, 2820, and 3344 in block are introduced as committee measures. Any further business coming before the committee? Representative Smith.
I just wondered if you were going to have a hearing on Friday.
I believe, Sam, do we have a Friday schedule?
Yeah. Yes, we have a Friday for this week's schedule.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
We do have the schedule made out with some of the bills that we have for the remainder of this month. So if you'd like to check with the committee administrator, or perhaps the committee administrator could get a draft out to all committee members for the remaining part of March.
Mr. Chair, it turns out that the elections, both the Elections and Rules Committee and the Health and Human Services Committee, I'm going to be holding far-flung meetings that will start on Friday afternoon. It's possible that some of the Fridays, I think it's two of the four Fridays in March, I'll be in Ontario or in Southern Oregon or somewhere in those times, and I will look over the schedule you have and see if I prefer something to be covered on a different day rather than Friday.
We'll try to schedule all the real important bills on Fridays.
I know. So much for minority reports.
Mr.
I'll ask you to vote against on my behalf so we can file a minority report.
Representative Nolan.
While we're talking about the schedule, I wanted to bring to the committee's attention, because I know that we were looking at having our own roadshow on April 22nd. That's a date that the Oregon Legislative Assembly has set aside for legislators to participate in events in their local public schools. So I would prefer, if possible, that that not be the date that we go out and solicit input from people outside this boat, outside of Salem. I'd like to be able to participate in those if possible, but my constituents expect me to be, and I suspect many of us, will want to participate in their local school events that day.
Yeah, I don't know where you got the date that we were going on the road that day, but the chair will not entertain hitting the road with the committee on an in-district day. So
cool.
Your
Thanks.
Concerns are...
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Representative Ackerman?
No, I'm just...
Oh, okay. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, Committee on Land Use is adjourned.